T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
While Chicago adjusts to working at home, the Score is there for you.
I appreciate you guys being there for us to listen to.
Everybody's listening. Kudos to you guys. Keep it going. I'm a loyal Score listener. I appreciate it all the time, but more than ever right now with you guys.
We are Chicago's number one sports station, 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago.
The Score!
Mully and Hall. Mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Dan Pompey. Dan Pompey with Mully and Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Zach Zabin in for Mully this week, and we're pleased to welcome onto the program Dan Pompey. And Dan joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Dan. How are you doing today?
David and Zach, good to be with you today. I'm doing well, and I hope you guys are doing well too.
I hope you're staying safe and being well as well. And Dan, I want to start with, you had a really interesting story. Nick Foles is the Bears' new quarterback, or a Bears' quarterback that is new, traded for last week. Kind of wondering how he fits into the mix. You went out and talked to three guys who coached Nick Foles before: Andy Reid, Jeff Fisher, Doug Peterson. You've known them for a long time. What was the biggest takeaway from your conversations with those coaches about Nick Foles?
Well, I think they all really have a strong belief in Nick that he can succeed in the NFL. Part of the attraction with him, especially to people who have been with him once, because he's got a history of being re-signed by people who were with him once before. I think part of the attraction is that he's also, in addition to having the ability to play quarterback at a pretty high level, he also has a lot of the intangibles that you look for. And those are intangibles I'm talking about in the locker room, in terms of dealing with other players and other members of the organization, coaches, and also intangibles in terms of his feel for the game and his ability to, take a play call and make the most out of it, and to be able to really get the most out of the people who play with him. So, I really think it was a pretty good move for the Bears, given what they wanted to do. They wanted to go out and not completely pull the rug out from under Mitch Trubisky, still give him a chance. But I think this is about as best as you could have done. I mean, because I think you're talking about a guy who has been a Pro Bowl quarterback, and I mean, really had a pretty good season. I know that's a cheap thing sometimes now to say a guy's a Pro Bowl player, but he had a pretty good season. It was under Chip Kelly. And then, in addition to that, he obviously had an incredible run to the Super Bowl with the Eagles, and another really good playoff run as well. So, I mean, this is a guy who is not a throwaway quarterback by any stretch of the imagination.
A guy who understands the offense that the Bears are running, understands the verbiage, and has been in similar situations before, as you mentioned. Dan, the thing that I'm having difficulty grasping here is, does the Bears offense need to have a philosophical change based on what we saw last season, or do they simply need the quarterback play to get better and then everything will take care of itself?
Well, I certainly think they need tweaks, and I think they need contributions from different areas that they didn't get last year. I think they need a more consistent commitment to the run game. I think, you know, certainly I know Matt Nagy really prioritizes better contributions from the tight end position. That's something they didn't have. I think they need more consistent contributions from receivers other than Allen Robinson. And certainly they need better quarterback play that isn't so erratic and unpredictable. And, you know, there's a lot of things that went wrong with the offense last year, and we could pick all of them apart. But really, you know, I think they need improvement across the board, and certainly that starts with the playbook and the game plans and the play calling.
And the offensive line. And yesterday the Bears addressed that for the first time this offseason, Dan, by signing former Seahawk Jermaine Ifedi to a one-year prove-it deal, former first-round draft pick by the Seahawks, 31st overall in 2016, the fourth former first-round draft pick that Ryan Pace has signed this offseason on sort of the reclamation tour. I guess the good news is the Bears went and found a veteran to help supplement their weakest position. The bad news might be he was tied for third in penalties last year in the league with 8 false starts and 5 holding penalties. As one texter referred to him, Charles Leno Jr. Jr.
Well, you know, I think no matter what you say about his performance last year, he gives the Bears something that they didn't have before. He's a guy who has starting experience in the NFL and can come in and plug a hole if they don't find somebody better anyway. You know, I don't think this necessarily rules out the fact that they might go out and draft an offensive lineman and maybe provide some competition at the position. But one of the things that Ryan Pace has done pretty well in free agency over the years is kind of given himself a veteran who you could at least, you know, go out, put him out there every Sunday and not be awful with. And then maybe you go out and try to create competition at position in the draft. And, you know, you have multiple options then. And I think this move would fall under that umbrella. And, you know, I think the fact that he was a former first-round draft pick tells you that the guy has got some talent, you know, and there is something to get out of him if the Bears can do it.
You posted 2 stories yesterday that I thought were fascinating, and I found them related in a certain way. And you had an opportunity to spend time with Jimmy Johnson on his fishing boat. And here's a guy who found a way to be happy, life after football. And then there was another story that you posted that was written about Shea McClellan and how life got very rough for him immediately after he left football before he suddenly found his way again. And I don't think we spend a lot of time talking about filling that void after the game and the emotional aspect of playing professional sports and dealing with life after is such a big deal, Dan.
It really is, Zach. And I think, you know, in Jimmy's case, I wrote the story about Jimmy. I didn't write the one about Shea, but I saw that someone else wrote it. It's a pretty interesting story that he was finding life after football through pickleball. But in Jimmy's case, you know, he kind of had a come-to-Jesus moment when he was late in his career with the Dolphins, and his mother died, and he was sitting there staring at her casket and thinking, you know, is this all there is with life? And at the same time, his one of his sons was struggling with an alcohol addiction, and Jimmy just felt awful about it. He was going through hell. The whole family was going through hell with it. And he thought, you know, maybe there's something besides this, because he was one of those football people who really was completely committed to being a coach to the point where, you know, never really celebrated holidays. He had a broken marriage. You know, he was all football all the time. And, you know, he wondered about the time that he had lost with family members and the things that he could never get back. So he decided at that point that, you know, maybe he didn't want to coach anymore. And he went and bought a place in the Florida Keys and got himself a boat, and now he never wears shoes, and every day is a good day for him out on his fishing boat. He and I had a lot of fun out there, and he told some great stories about his Hall of Fame career and some of the people that he's known through his life, even going back to his high school days. Of course, he was a classmate of Janis Joplin's.
That was a great story, Dan. And to quote your story, it's about Heineken Lights, and then if Mother Nature should call, it's all about peeing off the back deck. Sometimes you got to go.
You got to do what you got to do.
Before we let you go, I wanted to get your thoughts on what we've been talking about at times this week. The general manager subcommittee recommended to Roger Goodell moving the draft back and getting more time because they feel like there's just not enough time to interview and fully evaluate some of these prospects. They want to move it back from April 23rd. What do you think of that proposal, and how likely is it to happen?
Yeah, I think it makes sense. I think it's smart. I don't know what the rush is at this point to have it when it is scheduled to be held, because it's not like you've got a big city that's dependent on it, as Vegas had been. They've already said it's not going to be held publicly. It's going to be a television studio event. So why not push it back? Give everyone an opportunity to really get a good handle on the players. Who knows? I mean, the problem is nobody knows what next week, next month holds in terms of, are you going to be able to have pro days? Are you going to be able to have visits at any point? But the thing that you could probably bet on is that you're not going to be having an opportunity to bring these guys in for a long off-season program, even if the draft is April 23rd. So I think it makes sense. Move it back a little bit. Give everyone a little breathing space. I know the NHL, I believe, moved their draft back, and I think it would behoove the NFL to do the same.
If the NFL doesn't do that, they started the league year when they started the league year. They didn't push that back. So if the draft is held right now when it's supposed to be held, who does that impact the most based on some of the restrictions that the evaluators have had thrown at them with this virus?
You mean in terms of, I think it really affects the players with medical conditions, if I'm answering your question the way you wanted me to, because I think, those are the guys who you really have the least amount of information on, updated information on, because you can't get your doctors to have hands on them. And that's what you really need. I think anybody with questions, though, whether it be, you wonder about a player's mental ability to grasp a scheme. You wonder about a player with a history of missteps off the field, failed drug tests, whatever it may be. Those are the guys who, you normally answer questions about them in the weeks leading up to the draft. Also, that maybe the guys who did not work out at the combine for whatever reason, and, you need to get a time on them, or you need to see them throw, whatever it may be. Those are the guys who really the NFL teams are going to either take a gamble on, or say we're going to mark them down, maybe draft them later or put them later on our board than we would have otherwise.
Great stuff, Dan. Stay safe, be well. We appreciate you joining us this morning.
Okay, good to be with you guys. Take care.
Dan Pompey talking about the NFL, the Bears, and the NFL draft. Zach Zabin in for Mully. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I think baseball season was too long. I think they start too early, they finish too late. I keep saying they should cut the season, couple of few games, bring another team to the playoffs, give the World Series with a nice weather or better weather so people can enjoy it a little bit more. And I think all this stuff, but I think playing 162 games plus playoff plus spring training, you're talking about almost, 162, 30, 92, almost 300, 200 plus games. That's a lot of games to watch and a lot of games to play. I think in the future they should cut the season.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Zach Zaveman in for Mully this week. And Zach, that was Ozzie Guillen from our conversation last hour. And he kind of has talked about this in the past, about how the season is a little bit longer than he would like. Now it kind of applies to the discussion about how long the season will be. And I guess you have to always say if there is a season at all. But Rob Manfred sounded an optimistic tone last night on ESPN with Scott Van Pelt, talking about contingency plans, talking about goals, and if everything goes as well or as quickly as he would like, he said early June would be a conceivable, realistic time to start baseball, without necessarily addressing the realistic nature of that. The idea of reducing to 144 or 120 games, how do you feel about that? Are you with Ozzie that the season is too long anyway? Because I think right now you'd find people around Chicago, people around the country, that would love to be bored by a four-hour, 20-minute game.
Yeah, I think that, and as he was saying it, Ozzie, I started to think, you know, I get what he's trying to say, and I don't necessarily disagree with him. If you're going to have more teams in the playoffs, you know, you want to have that balance where the regular season in baseball, which is probably the most significant out of all the major sports in this country, you want to keep the integrity of the regular season without sacrificing it, and yet still have a meaningful postseason that doesn't stretch into November, where weather takes away your ability to do a lot of the different things that you become accustomed to seeing when you watch baseball games. And I'm not just talking about this year. I'm talking about overall. And you wonder if there indeed is baseball. And I think early June might be a little bit too ambitious. I understand Manfred wanting to be positive, but clearly it's the science and the medical experts that will determine when baseball starts. You also heard Ozzie Guillen say that, you know, in all likelihood, you're going to need 3 to 4 weeks to recalibrate with some sort of spring training before players take the field for games that count. I think if there is a season this year, it's going to be abbreviated, and you wonder if fans get used to that, does it make it easier for baseball going forward to say, let's shorten the regular season a little bit and begin the playoffs, say, at some point during September, where you're not reliant on just, you know, one of those one wild card game playoff type of situations, where you make the postseason a little bit more dynamic because you're playing games in better weather, don't you think?
I know what you're saying. I think there's something to that. 312-644-6767. Do you agree? Is a baseball season too long and you would welcome some alterations to it? Because, Zach, what are we just sit through, or what are we bemoaning? Today was opening day, but also the loss of, this would have been the weekend, the second weekend of the NCAA tournament, correct? Wouldn't this have been the Sweet 16 today? There would have been basketball, the 68-team tournament. And the expansion of that put the focus on the postseason, and that didn't hurt the popularity of the sport at all. And I think that when you look at where we're headed, and there is so much uncertainty ahead, it's very difficult to predict or project responsibly. But doesn't part of you wonder, as I do, like, the popularity of baseball was beginning to wane among some demographics. That was a problem. It was too slow. It was too this. It was too that. I wonder if the absence of baseball will make the heart grow fonder, if people will want to see more of the sport. And I wonder if restructuring the schedule, this would be a good time to think about 140 games, or with an expanded playoff format and beginning earlier, because then it becomes all about revenue, right? It's a math problem. You can't take away regular season games unless you replace that potential revenue stream with the playoff TV rights and putting it on, making it more lucrative in the postseason, because there's got to be some way to replace the funds that you're losing by not offering or staging as many regular season games.
Right. And then there's just the reality of what a shorter regular season would look like. For example, what you always hear now during the course of a 162-game season is, for the most part, you'll hear it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. If a team struggles early, it doesn't necessarily end their season. And I think if you have a shorter regular season, it makes that regular season more impactful, because you essentially have a race to the playoffs that starts immediately. And you see it in football, where there's that immediate playoff push to get into the postseason, and it starts with the regular season. So I like that sense of urgency, that edge that you may need. If there is baseball this season, I think it'll be a good pilot program, if you will, for perhaps making a dramatic change going forward. The thing that I like is that Rob Manfred is open to change, and I think there's an opportunity here to tweak some things going forward in terms of growing the game, not taking away from what makes baseball special. And there has to be that balance between keeping the purists happy, but yet the creating a situation where you continue to make baseball viable at a high level in the future. And I think there is a way to do that. And maybe the answer is just a little bit of a shorter regular season. In the past, people would object because, the numbers are the numbers. But, after the steroid era, we don't look at numbers that are compiled statistically the same way, do we? So
no, you don't. You can't.
So this is an opportunity to, I think, take what makes baseball special, keep a little bit of that, but yet kind of evolve the way most sports evolve. You make little tweaks. It's not going to make the game worse. I think, if anything, it can create even more interest if you have that type of situation. That's just my opinion. I know there'll be a lot of pushback to that, but I do think that baseball can benefit from a little bit of a shorter regular season.
I think people are ready for a change. 815 texter, I'd like to see 152 or so game season. One less week, one less game with each divisional opponent would be ideal. Allow spring training to start a week earlier, a week later as well. Start the season at the end of the first week of April and start the playoffs a week earlier. 630, first question is, how do you make up the money? That's the very first question that MLB will ask. Another 630 texter, I favor a shorter season, but how do you address the impact on statistics? Look, you just said it. The sacred cow that the statistics used to be no longer exists. I just don't think that you really, that ship sailed, hasn't it? I mean, you can't really get caught up into the traditional way of looking at Major League Baseball numbers, whether it's victories by a starting pitcher or home runs that you don't know during the steroid era are legitimate or not. This would be a different approach to a season that I think that you have to suspend some of those old ways of looking at things to be able to accept the changes that lie ahead.
And does having more teams make the postseason and creating more playoff series add revenue on the back end with the TV and broadcasting packages that you can make up the finances lost by shortening up the regular season? I'm not sure. I don't know the numbers, but I feel like it could be a potential answer to some of what ails baseball. And when I say, and I use air quotes when I say what ails baseball, I just think what people want to see is a faster pace of play where you don't have every game taking 3.5-4 hours. I believe there's a way to do that and not take away from what makes baseball special. And I also think you can still keep the integrity of the regular season, even with a shortened regular season.
Zach, there's nobody in your apartment to get the video stream that we can see the air quotes. So we're just going to have to take your word for it. Texter says 6-3-0. The NFL adds a game to the schedule, and we're talking about reducing the number of games for Major League Baseball. Why is there such a difference between the two sports? Well, I think we just sort of covered it. Number one, people can't get enough of the NFL, and people that are the ratings reflect that, the revenue reflects that, and I don't think that's going to change. Whereas with Major League Baseball, you're trying to make it more exciting. You're trying to make the season more watchable at some point. And I think if you increase the playoff field, you're taking a step in that direction, aren't you?
Yeah. There are some that would say, well, then you're cheapening the regular season. And I understand their point. But I think the difference in football is they're not changing the number of games that would be played. For example, you always used to have four preseason games followed by the 16-game regular season. You're still playing the same amount of games. You're just adding more importance to the regular season by adding the 17th game and the preseason in which starters never play anymore. And beyond that, forget about starters. Any player that's considered valuable for your team generally doesn't play in the preseason for a lot of teams around the NFL. So you're having one extra regular season game. You're adding the playoff teams. I think, you know, we've seen basketball make changes, and they are actively working on trying to tweak their game to make their regular season a little bit more meaningful. With baseball, I think it's okay to modernize without cheapening what makes the authenticity of baseball what it is. And I'm glad that Rob Manfred is at least open to accepting changes this season, if there is one, and I think if fans get used to what they see this season from a shortened regular season, maybe that's something that you might see going forward they put together a new CBA.
708 Texter makes a really interesting point about this whole concept of the sanctity of the statistic in baseball. And he says, I think that advanced statistics, basically metrics, right, actually mitigate the issue of stats now because everything is comparable. And I think the more that we come to value and respect and aware of some statistics that 10 years ago, Zach, were not really part of the baseball discussion. They weren't part of the things that people talked about between innings, you know. But they are now, right? What is his WAR? That is not something that you would have heard come up at a ballpark 10 years ago. So I think there's a different way of viewing the game. I think there's a different way of, you know, preserving tradition. There are new traditions and new ways to look at things. And so I would not get caught up in this conversation about what's best for this season or moving forward in the whole idea of statistics, because things change and the games evolve and they have to.
I agree with you. And I think you just have to be open-minded about it, be a little bit more progressive. And let's face it, people who played the game in the early 1900s would not recognize the kind of baseball that is played today. And I would go even a step further that, you know, in the golden era of baseball in the 1950s, it's played differently today just because of the new metrics that are used to judge success and failure in the game.
I thought the golden era was 2016. No?
That was just the greatest year in Cub history.
Well, yeah, that was an era. Let's call it an era. All right, Zach, when we come back, I want to get into the Bears a little bit more, because we have not really addressed too much the free agent linemen that they signed and what that means, and are they done? Is Ryan Pace done signing former first-round draft picks around the league? Zach Zabin in for Mully. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Are you guys in negotiations with Kukowski right now?
Any of those negotiations, Adams, with all those guys, we'll keep those in-house. You know, I hope you guys can respect this time of year. It's a difficult time to talk about a lot of things.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Zach Zabin in for Mully this week. And Zach, that was the voice of Ryan Pace back when things were difficult to talk about. A little easier today. Bears make a big signing on Wednesday. They sign quarterback Tyler Bray. They did sign Tyler Bray, but that wasn't the big signing. He is back for a one-year deal. So is Jermaine Ifedi, the guard or offensive tackle, actually. He played more right tackle in Seattle. and I'm projecting that he might be tried at guard. I guess until further notice, we might refer to him as a swing tackle, Zach, because of his experience. He started 60 games in the last four seasons for a very good football team. You don't protect Russell Wilson without having some sort of value to a franchise coached by, you know, Pete Carroll. So the Seahawks are a very good team, so he has experience winning. He's a guy who was a former first-round draft pick, the 31st overall selection out of Texas A&M in 2016. The red flags are the yellow flags. 13 last year, tied for third in the league in penalties, 8 false starts, 5 holding penalties, gives you some pause, makes you concerned. At the same time, Zach, it's a veteran. It's an upgrade, I suppose, if you try him at right guard, because Rashad Coward was a converted defensive lineman with no experience. I think that if you talked about the Bears neglecting their offensive line, no longer can you say that. They made a move. They got better.
They got competition. I think I'm going to stop short of saying that he's going to be the starter. I think sometimes just because the Bears signed somebody, that doesn't mean that you're automatically plugging him in and saying that he's going to be the guy. He's going to get an opportunity to perhaps be the guy. And there's a lot of physical gifts. That's why he was a first-round pick for the Seahawks, 6'5", 325. He's young, 25 years old, was a right tackle at Texas A&M, started off at right guard under Tom Cable, the former offensive line coach of the Seahawks, and did not play well there. They moved him to tackle. Penalties, a big problem. If penalties are a problem for you as an offensive lineman, you're not going to be an offensive lineman on your team for very long, just because that cannot be tolerated. But I think when you start to take a look at what the Bears have done during the offseason, what they're saying specifically, and I don't know if this is what they meant to say, but just based on the way things have transpired, look, you are not going to bench Charles Leno. You are not going to bench Cody Whitehair. You're not going to bench James Daniels. And you're not going to bench Bobby Massey. So they're basically saying, without saying it, that they believe that better techniques are needed for internal improvement at the offensive line position. So Harry Hiestand is out, Juan Castillo is in, and they added Bill Lazor as the offensive coordinator, said goodbye to Mark Helfrich. They also brought in John DeFilippo as the new quarterback's coach. And what that tells you, at least from the outside, is that maybe Matt Nagy feels that the guys that he had here in the past on his staff were not able to properly get the message across to running this offense the way it needs to be run. And he brought in guys that have a little bit more experience, and that ultimately will make the offense better. I don't know if that's the answer, because I still think you can use a better weapon opposite Allen Robinson, like someone that scares a defense. I think the Bears don't have enough of those players on offense. Like I think maybe a little bit of a tweak with the change of offensive philosophy would help, where you truly commit more to the run the way you saw, say, Tennessee do it and San Francisco do it and be a little bit more successful. I think another thing you have to look at is, and we spoke with Brian Baldinger earlier in the week, and I thought he made a great point talking about this. The Bears had to run a bunch of gimmicky offensive plays last season because of the lack of personnel. They didn't really have a tight end because Shaheen, we know that he didn't pan out. And Trey Burton dealing with the injuries was a big problem. They ended up signing two tight ends this offseason, the name which most people recognize, Jimmy Graham. But I just think you have to do a better job offensively of complementing what the Bears have defensively. And I think part of that starts with a little bit more of an emphasis of the ground game. It makes your offensive line better. It makes your defense better. And most importantly, it makes your quarterback more productive when there's that sense of balance.
That's got to be the focus of the coaching staff. But I think the other unintended consequence of the moves the Bears have made, and they went out and they got Artie Burns, and they got Barkevious Mingo, and they've got now Ifedi, and they got Robert Quinn. And as you pointed out a long time ago in this show, the Bears now have more former first-round draft picks for other teams than they do of guys that they drafted in the first round themselves. That's not a good ratio, Zach. So I think what's happened here is they're basically saying that they have, or what this says, they're not saying it. What this says to me is they have more confidence in their coaching staff to get the most out of talent that didn't succeed or reach its potential elsewhere than they do in their front office, which is basically signing guys to replace guys who they drafted and failed. And so you're putting a lot of stock in the coaching staff to make these guys reach that potential.
Well, don't you have to? I mean, the reality is that over the last 2 years, most of the off seasons have been spent trying to fix the failed draft picks. I mean, last year you end up signing Allen Robinson because you had to replace Kevin White. And it doesn't matter why those picks failed. They just did not live up to expectations, whether it's because of injury or poor play. And then this offseason, you know, because of the tight end misses that I talked about, you go out and you sign Jimmy Graham. Because Leonard Floyd wasn't the player you thought he was going to be, you spend big money to bring in Robert Quinn because you need to maximize the production on the opposite end of Khalil Mack. And then you go out and you trade for Nick Foles because you're going to give Mitchell Trubisky an opportunity to get it right, but you're not sure that he's going to be able to get it right, and you want to protect yourself at that position.
So you look at the Bears, and we talked about Ifedi, a guy who started 60 games for the Seahawks the last four seasons. And I agree with you. I guess you can't plug him into the starting lineup yet. You got to create competition, and that's how you get your best offensive lineman or your best offensive line as a whole collectively. And I think they will draft one in the second round to compete at one of those spots. But are the Bears done in free agency? The second tier has sort of been picked over now. Where'd they go?
I don't know.
Are you air quoting me?
No, I can't see you, Zach.
I can only hear you.
I just heard you say that you've already locked them in. So one of those two second round picks will be on the offensive line.
I am not guaranteeing it, but if they don't, I want to know why. You have two picks in the second round, Zach, and you have, if one of those offensive tackles drops to you, the six that Mel Kiper projects to go in the first round, you've got to take one of those guys. You've got to address your weakest position group. Yes, I'm saying that.
I think you look at what a team does in free agency, and that kind of gives you an idea. Why are they signing certain guys via free agency at certain positions? It's because they probably believe that they can't get that kind of production immediately through the draft. This is supposed to be as deep of a wide receiver draft as there's been in the NFL in a while. Don't you need, you owe it to your, and you saw it last year at Seattle's, you know, where Ifedi came from. Metcalf was a fantastic receiver that was taken in the second round last year. If you can get a guy opposite Allen Robinson, I think you owe it to this football team to get a difference maker. They need difference makers. You can't just and I know people love Allen Robinson, and there's nothing that and why wouldn't you? Because he was ultra productive, but that was by far and away your most important offensive player last season. But as Chris Collinsworth said during that Bears-Chiefs Sunday night game, he would be maybe the third best option on the team that ended up winning the Super Bowl. So that gives you the kind of idea. You need weapons.
You can't see me cringing right now, Zach. You can't see me grimacing. I understand that, but are you telling me that if you have a choice between a highly rated offensive lineman, a highly rated cornerback, maybe a highly rated safety, and a highly rated wide receiver in the second round, wide receiver is fourth out of four on that list of priorities of the positions
David,
I just named.
David, I want playmakers. I don't think the Bears are in a position where they're one player away. And when you say offensive line, you have to look at it realistically. You mean offensive tackle. And there are a lot of good offensive tackles that will all likely go in the first round. They're not going to get that kind of pick that you're looking for. I think it's imperative to start stacking this team with talented players at the skill positions. You need that in order to take this team to the next level. They've got players you fear on defense. They do not have that on offense. They need to start drafting those players. The reason they're in this mess is because they've whiffed on those skill positions.
Zach, you know what people would fear on Sunday? Smash mouth football. Smash mouth football, run it down your throat. That's the way that this roster is structured. Your defense is built to be dominant once again. So get a lineman.
I'm not, I'm not disagreeing with you. I will ask you this. When you keep Matt Nagy as the head coach, you add Lazor, you add DeFilippo, you bring in Juan Castillo, do you they trade for Nick Foles. Is that telling you that they're going to change their philosophy on offense, or they just want to run Matt Nagy's offense better?
Well, we'll have to continue this conversation tomorrow because the music says we're done today.
It was a good question.
It was a very good question, Zach, and you asked a lot of them today. Thank you for stepping in and sitting in, and have a great rest of the day, Zach. Thank you to Dustin Rhodes, our executive producer.
Big time onions!
And thanks to Kevbo running the shop back at the studio.
Good riddance.
Also, the glue of the program. Thank you, Ray.
Would you guys get serious for a minute?
Most of all, thank you for calling. Thank you for texting. Thank you for listening. And thank you for making our morning a little more enjoyable. We hope that we made yours a little more tolerable. We're in this together. Enjoy the sports talk. Enjoy Bernstein and McKnight. They are next. For Zach Zabin, I'm David Haugh, Mullion Haugh, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Have a great day.
End the story.
I see you soon, baby.
That's all I got.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.